2025 is fast fading, and we haven't got too many more Zav Chats for this calendar year, but we've got a very special one today as we introduce our new college captain. Morning, Bill.
Morning, Shane. 25 fading and 26 right on the horizon, and Nick Turner, college captain for 2026, mate, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me today. Big honour being college captain for next
year. Congratulations.
Great stuff. And, mate, we're excited. It's a lovely moment in schools. I often say it's a bit Groundhog Day-ish. You know, you get to do it all over again. But for you, there's one year 12, you know, and there's one opportunity of being college captain. So, you know, are you looking forward to it?
I'm very much looking forward to 1 year left, 1 year to make a big impact. I'm sure, like, all the boys are very much looking forward. All the prefects got lots of ideas and want to just make the best of it. And like one last chance at the school, really.
Correct. And you've got a lovely cohort as well. It'd be lovely to sort of maybe get to that a little bit later in the show. But as always, Shane, plenty happening, isn't there, at Xavier? And we go right to the finishing line. So this is nice, though, to have Nick with us and setting up whatever's ahead next year.
Yeah, I've been noticing near my office a lot of the boys gather either before their exam or after their exam. It's just got a different feel this couple of weeks. Have you felt the same, Bill?
Correct. And I don't know whether the listeners can even pick up a little bit of a band in the background,
yes.
but our whole music programs keeps roaring forward, but it does readjust. So rather than being in the EPAC, the VCE exams go in through that space. And so our musicians practicing upstairs just near our studio. So if you are picking anything up there, that's what it is. But yeah, there is a lovely vibe that the college really starts to hone in on its academic journey. You know, boys from 7 through to 11 on this campus are starting to, you know, really sort of set their sights on the end of year,
yes,
culminating activities in class and then being able to have a real crack for these exams. But our year 12s are obviously right in the middle of it. I must admit, Shane, I often hear this wonderful sound over these, particularly the past week and a bit, as our boys are starting to have their last exam. Alex Smith and sometimes Jen Prowse and Clara are always there. Alex will always be there to greet his boarder as he comes out, or a few of them sometimes, you know, come out after their last exam.
Isn't that fantastic?
He claps and hollers and hoots, and they have a great little moment, and it's this great sense of a journey in a boarding house, so it is special. But, Nick, I'm conscious, I think you did a 3-4 this year, is that correct?
Yeah, I was lucky enough to do methods 3-4 this year, which was lots of fun. It's a bit different from other 3-4s because it's just all class of year 11s, but which was amazing. Lots of like-minded boys, created great friendships, and I had an amazing teacher who was also my head of my house, which was very handy.
So, correct. And you're a Spindler boy, so that would be Mr. Burke.
Yes, it would be Mr. Burke, yeah.
So, which is great. And that year 11 class I think it's a great idea. As you said, it's a whole like-minded group from your own cohort. But other boys will obviously then get a blended class of year 11 and year 12s in, and that's a nice sort of moment as well. Have you had a few mates obviously doing 3-4s?
Yeah, lots of mates doing them, and they have great relationships now with year 12s, so they've been sitting next to in class, or, you know, comparing notes. And even us year 11s, like, there's lots of year 12s. Like, you get towards those exams and you see someone in the library, they stop you, they ask you questions, you talk about it. So it's a good vibe, good culture, and yeah, no, definitely I think the boys who were with year 12s really enjoyed having those boys who maybe did one last year giving them advice. Yeah, I think they all loved it.
Correct. And it also then speaks a little bit to that house system. So mentioning Paul Burke, you know, and Paul's been on our Zav Chat podcast,
yes,
this,
yes,
year. But you know, Burke has a wonderful role, not only as a, you know, a senior mathematics teacher, but as head of house and looking over all the Spindler boys, as and every boy's got a home and a house, don't they, Nick? So, you know, just your reflections on maybe just our pastoral system and that house care that supports our boys on their journey.
I think it's really like a central part of, like, say, my time at school as well as the house system. Mr. Burke, I have Mrs. Hamilton is my assistant head of house, and I have also Mrs. Crowley is my tutor, and they're all just so care about you. Like, if anything goes wrong, you know, they'd even, you know, in tutor group, Mrs. Crowley sees you look a bit off, you know, they pull you aside, ask how you're going, okay, and I think they're just there to make sure you're happy and you're enjoying your time at school. But then also the house with the younger boys in our tutor groups, or it's just so much fun getting to know them, forming friendships with year nines, with year tens, who years below, but you create a great friendship because you see them every day, you spend so much time together. It's lots
of fun. It is brilliant, isn't it? I'm just reflecting on what you're saying there. So, you know, Miss Crowley, who looks over all of our social justice programs at our Friday night school, she's got an incredible involvement there. And so just... her ability to open up service opportunities that exist at the school. You know, you think of Miss Hamilton, and here she is, you know, particularly in the such a creative person in the creative world and musicals. And,
amazing.
And,
yeah.
that element opens up. You know, you've got Paul, who's, you know, amazing at outdoor ed and elements of, you know, triathlon and cycling. And, you know, that whole world opens up with these people. So the staff who accompany you, they bring so much to the relationship and to opening up boys' experiences. I think, would that be fair to say?
For sure. And I've been lucky enough, I was in the musical since year five, so I've known Mrs. Hamilton for ages. And then she came up and joined as assistant head of house. So she's definitely been like a core member, like staff member throughout my time at Burkle. And it's been amazing to have her as my assistant head of house the last couple of years. Mrs. Crowley, for sure, always getting us boys in the tutor to put her hand up for service opportunities. And the way she talks about like how she wants to see justice in the world, it's very inspiring.
So I just wouldn't mind exploring that a bit more, Nick. So when I'm taking tours around of parents who might be thinking of sending their boy to Xavier, I talk about the house system and I talk about the tutor groups, and I tell them that this is one of the things that most Xavier families would say as one of the absolute highlights of Xavier. But we've got a great chance here to talk to our new school captain and really delve into that house and that tutor group. What are your memories when you first experienced it back in year nine as the youngest in the group, and then you've now travelled that journey? Explain that to our parents as to why it is special.
Well, in year nine, you come in there and you're like, you're looking up to these boys in year 12 and 11, and you feel like lucky that they're sitting down and chatting with you, and you kind of like, as a younger boy, you always look up and you think they're so cool, like these year 11s and 12s kind of, and, you know, doing trivia with them, trying to beat them in it. It's lots of fun. And then as you move forward and then there's boys below you in the year level, now it's your turn to reach out with them and try to form relationships, see how they're going and checking up on them, helping them with them as they move through the school, giving advice. So it's a nice shift. You kind of learn from the older boys how you should deal with younger boys in your troop, and you try to just model what you've been given and give that back to the boys who come through it.
Well, Bill will love hearing that answer because he's got a great saying that fits perfectly in terms of what you just said.
Well, it's interesting, Shay. So, and Nick, reflecting on our journey as a school, you know, this shift of your 7 and 8 boys coming up to the senior school now, and obviously they reside in this quite amazing Cosca precinct. But our theory was always that little boys learn from big boys. Number one, and as you've just been saying there, you look up, you take a steer, you take a lead, you think they're wise, cool, whatever it might be. And then as you're now experiencing yourself, and not just simply because you're college captain, but because you're now one of the elder in the tribe, you know, one of the senior boys there, then you've got a responsibility now. As you've already indicated, you're looking down, you can't wait to have a discussion with them and bring them through and open it up. So, you know, big boys then are a better version of themselves when they've got a responsibility for leading our younger. That was our theory in the whole restructure and the Cosca change, and you've described it perfectly.
It is a great saying, and Nick just completely brought it to life. Is there one moment you can remember in your 3 years so far, no names or anything, but where you or, say, a boy in the group was struggling for whatever reason, and have you seen an example of that boy being assisted either by the tutor or by some of the other boys?
Well, I think at times I've also like struggled throughout my time in the house, and I think one of the actual key people is also the house president. This year I've had Shalane, who's my house president, who I'd say is one of my closer mates now at the end of the year, and he's in year 12.
Isn't that great?
Definitely going to miss him as he moves forward. But, you know, there's times when I've had disappointments or something, and he would, you know, he was really good. He would spend heaps of time in like our common room area, not with his year 12s, but trying to look out for the younger boys, especially at the start of year as the year 9s came in, would pull them aside, have a chat with them. And then if he thought there was, you know, any boys he thought was wrong, I'm pretty sure he would go to Mr. Burke, then they would talk to you, same as Mrs. Crowley. And I think they're just there, there's constant checkups. ups. Even Mrs. Crowley the other day was asking me how I was feeling with my exams, with, you know, extra stresses being college captain, you know, reminding me how to deal with it all. So there definitely is times where they, and I think a lot of Mrs. Crowley's work she does behind the scenes, you know, of course, you don't, like, don't want to bring a boy up in front of the whole tutor group to make them feel embarrassed or ashamed or anything, but just try and make, look out for them and speak to them when she can and just keep, I think there's constant monitoring. That's why it's so good having the tutor group so regularly.
Great answer.
And Nick, have we even broadened that out? You know, you've got wonderful experience, and we'd love to sort of pick up on some of those, you know, in the minutes ahead of us. But you know, you've obviously got a great sense of the vibe, you know, of the student culture, of the prevailing disposition of Xaverians. You know, just share a little bit more of what you said. Let's broaden it out from your beautiful Spindler House now. You know, how do you see a Xaverian? Because one of the things you're picking up on there is this awareness of others, the ability to actually recognise who might need support or, you know, who just needs company. I think we do it well. What else do you see?
Yeah, I would agree. It's very much, I think, support is like the word I would use is, you know, you see it at the voluntary mass. I think that's where it all kind of, I think, key stems for is seeing a boy reflect and then everyone be there for him. And then I think that spreads, you can see in the Red and Black Army going and supporting your mates. But just like at a more daily level, I think it really is the awareness of others and you're just checking up, especially on your mates. It's like it's a brotherhood of you want to make sure everyone is happy and everyone's enjoying their time at the school like you are. So I think it's very much looking out for them, having those conversations, whether or not it's just even with the younger boys, saying hi to as many younger boys as you can in the hallways to make them feel welcome. I think it's all about that to make everyone feel like they definitely have a place at the school.
And it pays off. It's genuine. It's felt. It's completely authentic. You know, these aren't put on elements that I ever see in a Xaverian. But it then becomes real, and it gives them confidence. You know, you talk of the voluntary mass, Nick, of, you know, boys who are prepared to be, you know, a little vulnerable, a little open in a large group, and know that they'll have the complete support of their mates, and everyone leans in. I was reflecting on you know, James Pepicelli's great words. You know, as he gave the valet to year 12, and he was talking about leaning on and being able to be lent on and how our boys responded. I think it's very tangible. Shane, you were speaking about tours, and I know one of the things that, you know, parents will always think about and worry is, well, my little bloke, will he be safe? Will he be okay? Will he have friends? Yes. Will he be, you know, will be in a good environment to be brought up in? You know, and it's quite funny, you know, some will talk, you know, and what about bullying? It's just such actually, frankly, a foreign word. It's not to say that, you know, relationships don't go astray at times or that we've got just completely perfect boys. We don't. You know, and anyone who would claim that, you know, I think are kidding themselves. But what I do see here is this quite amazing student culture. And Nick, you've just described it perfectly, I feel, and I couldn't agree with you more, where boys are just aware of others. You know, we speak of being men for others, but it's lived here, and it's what they are prepared to do for the other, how they're just aware of the needs of others and prepared to take an action or ask a question or be open to them. And that feeling then that's cultivated in a tutor group, in a house system, in a voluntary mass, in a retreat program, where this is part of what we do and who we are. And it's they're not put on things or they're not just a program that we run. It's how we live. Yeah. And it's great. Yeah, well said.
Now, it's interesting, Bill, to hear you talk there about tours, because you may not realise Nick and I have actually been away twice on tours. Once, Nick, you were in late year 9 and we went up to Arnhem Land, which was amazing. I'd love to get you to talk about that in a moment. And then I got the lucky job when Bill couldn't go to America to be part of the Global Young Leaders, and you were part of that. So probably worth reflecting a little bit on that, because that's probably been two of your highlights of your Xavier life.
Yeah, for sure, definitely two highlights. I think they at times a bit have some similarities in very much like the opening the eyes. So as we went up to Arnhem Land, you hear about all the issues with Indigenous communities, but then when you go out, then you see how remote it is. I think that was one of the things the boys, like, they loved the, you know, the 10-hour bus rides, 8-hour bus rides. I think it was all a bit of a shock that so far away, and then you're in these homelands, and they're saying that, you know, if when it floods, they have to bring a helicopter in to get all their family out because of how far away.
It's a real eye-opener, isn't it?
It's really eye-opening when, you know, you can just hop on a tram for us and get to the other side of the city in an hour. So really eye-opening. And then going to America in such a country that's, like, so similar but also so different was really eye-opening. I think one of my highlights was when we got to go into the schools, very similar to like Xavier over there, and just sitting down and having just basic conversation with boys our age but like who live on the other side of the world and have that so many similarities to us. Like you can just see yourself in them, even though they've been lived up and grown up in a whole different country. But then also seeing the way that, you know, the political system very different over there, because we were there in a very busy time.
Interesting
post
time.
Trump election, yeah, yeah. All the tariffs, which was very interesting. Protests going on in New York.
The MAGA caps everywhere.
Yeah, every side of the street there was one. Yeah, no, it was very great time to be there.
And Bill, if I reflect back to Fordham, it was, wasn't it? The school,
yes,
in, just outside New York. We had an amazing couple of hours there. Nick started to explain it, but a bit more depth on that, I reckon, Nick. There was one of the Fordham boys got up and spoke, and then there was a series of topics where we were able to compare the views of these American boys, about the same age as you guys, maybe a tad older. And then, of course, I was so proud of our group, of which you were a part, of course.
Yeah, we had, like, some discussions about quite key issues. So a couple of them were healthcare, immigration, I think climate change were like the three big ones. And I think healthcare was the biggest one.
Oh, they were blown away, the Americans.
Yeah, when we like explained how it works over here, they kind of couldn't believe it. They just kept saying like, but it's not possible to have it in like in our country. Like you can't have, you know, free healthcare. Like how would that work? And we're trying to say, well, that's basically what we have here. You know, everyone has, if they were explaining how they know friends who break their arms but don't call an ambulance because they don't want to pay for it.
Incredible.
And it was, I think, a big shock from both us. Like, I couldn't imagine living in a world like that where people actually have to worry about their health just because of how much money they make. And then they couldn't believe that how our system ran. It was, I think, it was a very proud day to be an Australian talking about that and then hearing their responses to it.
Yeah, thank goodness we don't have a video here because I'm going green again. Not necessarily maybe with envy, but I must admit that was one of those experiences we were planning for this trip that I was so much looking forward, Nick, for you and the boys. What a great moment when there's, you know, a Jesuit school from Australia and a Jesuit prep school in the United States having a discussion about meaningful social, cultural issues, political issues, et cetera, and developing their understanding. You know, Fordham Prep sits right on the edge of Fordham University, you know, which has got a few campuses through New York, but a quite incredible one, you know, up to the north. And again, our hope was to open the eyes of our own group of all these different tertiary pathways and options, you know, that don't necessarily, and we've got magnificent universities here in Melbourne, but gee, there's this whole world out there of further engagement, et cetera. You look at Georgetown and Fordham and Boston College, where you also went, you know, these are great opportunities.
And yourself and Michael Islett as the director of the campus and Will Stefano, who runs our debating program, I think you're the trio that really got that fire flickering and then burning. What was in your minds right at the beginning of the process? Should we or shouldn't we do this? Is this something that would be great for Xaverians?
Well, it's interesting, Shane. It came on the back of what was a well-established program at Xavier and the wonderful support of the foundation, Peter Walsh in particular.
Yes, definitely.
Over such a sustained period of time, he has helped to provide the opportunity for young men to be able to go over to New York. The previous program, the Global Young Leaders program, was an external group and unfortunately it was a victim of COVID,
yeah,
and didn't sustain. But then you look at this incredible Jesuit network around the world, like we've said before, but 2 million people on the planet are educated every day in a Jesuit school or university. And
yeah,
some of them are at Fordham and Georgetown and Xavier College in Melbourne, and others, you know, are right on the margins of society with not much. And here are Jesuit communities delivering education and aid and moral and spiritual support for all of these, not just on the margins. So we felt, well, why can't we do this ourselves? And we think, I'm particular, I'm really passionate about our students need a citizens of the world, and they need to be able to have a global focus, and ideally they need to have these conversations with, you know, boys at Fordham or boys in India from Calcutta who came earlier in the year,
yes,
and visited us, and we hope to return to them. So it's this dialogue which really opens up perspective. And Nick, you know, the simple act of driving 10 hours into remote Australia, it's broadening horizons and perspectives.
No doubt about that. And I've got one memory, Nick, from Arnhem Land, and you'll have other memories as well, but there was one night sitting around the campfire where I played Paul Kelly's great song, From Little Things, Big Things Grow. Mm. And the two leaders from Red Earth actually thought that was just the words of an ad. They didn't actually realise it was this amazing song. And what I found out later from the Indigenous folk who were with us that night and over those days was we were sitting at that campfire within 20 or 30 kilometres of what that song was all about. That just blew my mind. And the boys' responses that night I thought were pretty special.
Yeah, for sure. I can remember that night too. There was lots of nice fire nights, lots of good discussion. I think the same homeland where they elders sat down and they allowed us to basically ask them any question we wanted, and they explained, you know, how it works for their family and their community, and really just gave us an insight into what life for them daily is, and what like there was the story about how we couldn't cook after dark at that place because they had a spirit who lived over the hill that didn't like the smell of smoke. Like learning these little stories, like giving us this insight into their daily life was amazing.
Isn't it funny? And again, this goes to this theory, Shane, that boys learn so much from experiences, inspiring experiences. Our role as educators and as a school are to provide these experiences for our boys and to take them into these environments, prepare them for it, and then unpack it with them. And that's the great measure of an immersion. And Wilbur spoken, so powerfully over the course of this year around the impact of that and that deep accompaniment of people and really getting to know them and leaning in to listen to their story. You know, as a society, we're not terribly good at times of listening deeply and then of asking just questions rather than just wanting to make our own contribution sort of to the discussion. So, Nick, it's been lovely just hearing your little reflections here. And it really goes into, I think, this great plethora of offerings here at Xavier where there are so many different things, no matter what your area of interest or passion is. And it can be a sporting tour, an academic tour, you know, going abroad as well, that has these other unexpected other elements that sort of sit on the edge that are just as powerful as the actual cricket tour itself or the whatever it might have been.
And I know the Red Earth tour that year was an optional extra for families who wanted to send their boys. But I know, Bill, you and a few of the teaching team have been very thrilled that the Year 9 excursion has just, which is really a little bit similar to what Nick experienced, it's been for everyone, and the feedback's been amazing.
Yeah, I'm glad you raised that, Shane, because Dave Howard, our head of expeditions, has really developed a comprehensive and I think an exemplary program of expedition, as we call it, but of learning in the outdoors throughout our school. It starts right down with the little preps, right the way through, and they've got a little play and discover and spark and grow. They're the themes that are deeply enmeshed in the learning experiences in the curriculum that's been devised at our junior school. It's quite incredible, and Rebecca brings that to life as a specialist in outdoor learning, and they're learning to be curious. You know, they learn to unpack. Mm. But as you were saying, you know, then we go into an explore in 7 and 8 and a journey in 9 to effectively 12. Right. And so it's pretty good timing for your question in a way, Shane, because we're making a few little adaptions. In Year 9 now, it's a journey inward, and it's a journey inward to the heart of Australia.
Yeah, right.
You know, geologically and certainly in terms of our peoples, our Indigenous First Nations peoples of this proud land, and important that we embrace their culture. And Nick, you know, lovely to hear, you know, you reflecting on your experiences with Shane, but that's for all boys right in the heart of Australia. And then it flips to go, okay, from 10 to 12, it's a journey outward. And where are you being called? Where do you, with one foot raised, want to put your foot down and take a step forward? And, you know, Nick, you've had one of those experiences, you know, off as a Global Scholars Program. That's one dimension. You know, there are music tours, there are academic-oriented tours and cultural tours with debating, and love to maybe reflect on that, Nick, because that's been a lovely part of your life as well. You know, there are sporting tours, there are immersions, there are retreats, and there are the opportunity for expedition.
Quite a range.
It's an amazing range. And so we also want to be get out of the space a little bit from year 10 up, aware of, you know, the cost pressures and all those sort of things for families, so that we can open up an opportunity both as it might appeal to a boy, or it might actually simply challenge the boy. It might be quite a frontier program that takes them into an uncomfortable bit, but they're going to learn so much. And how do we go about supporting it? But, Nick, I know I mentioned debating there. That's also been it's a lovely part of our journey. It's a really evolved area of the college life in the last 3 years, and you've been a wonderful part of a great cohort going through. How have you found the debating program?
Yeah, I hadn't done much really before year nine, and obviously year nine was an amazing year. We ended up with the winning of the grand final, which was an amazing experience.
You happened to be in that team, didn't you?
Yeah, I was with some very close mates now.
And for our listeners out there, this was the first time in DAV history that the finalists were from the same school.
Amazing
so
story.
Xavier versus Xavier, and it was I don't think there were any losers on the night. It was a great cohort you went through with, and you've continued on.
Yeah, it was amazing to be Xavier versus Xavier. We always kind of said we were one team though, because we helped each other all get there. So to finish off just the two of us was quite a special
experience.
That was
palpable.
And I went along as an audience a few times, and people who haven't been involved in debating, the work that goes in from the moment you're given the topic, which can often be quite close to the time you start debating, the work that goes in that, is it an hour or a half hour, whatever it is just quite amazing.
Yeah, in year nine it was prepared topics, so you would get like a week before and you write, you do your research, but now as you move up you get an hour before, you don't get to bring any phones, no laptops into it, it's all, you know, you've got to try to have as much knowledge in your head, and just it's the way you frame your arguments and your reasoning. And as a third speaker, I don't do much of the argumentation. I'm a lot of rebuttal, so that hour's not as bad for me. But this, you know, you're just trying to help and get as much down for your teammates who are a bit stressing. But, you know, it's quite fun. I find it a lot more fun doing a secret topic. There's a bit more pressure to it, a bit more flexibility to it. And, but debating's just been, I think, these boys I've done it through with now for 3 years are some of my closest mates, and they probably weren't at the start of the journey, so which has been really special about it.
Yeah.
And it's just, I think, so useful, the skill of, I think, of the – it's not just the speaking part, it's the hearing part and then trying to respond to it. And, like, you respect your opposition and what they say, but then you're also trying to find flaws. And obviously the key part we've been working on this year is you can't just say they're wrong to everything. You have to give them some acknowledge that they're probably right in some circumstances, but why am I more right? And so it's been a really good development, as I think we've just get better and better each time we train, which is
no doubt.
Definitely a credit to Will Stefano, our coach.
Yeah, it's been beautiful to watch the program, but again, even Nick so well described there, but that's why we're doing this, and that's why our emphasis. I love, you know, there's a lot of boys who will join and have a go at debating in year 11 and 12, and, you know, they're not quite, you know, at some of the levels that you've been at, Nick, but just, again, helping them to frame an argument, to prosecute, you know, the issue, not the person. You know, these are such critical skills for life, and how we inculcate that with our boys right across your levels, and you don't have to be at the top of English or the top of the oratory performance to be able to have these skills. It's just so important.
And I think Will would hope I would let everyone know that among hundreds and hundreds of teams at the very senior level in 2025, we had two teams in the last eight. It's an extraordinary effort and, you know, well done. Look, time's starting to fly. Could we maybe ask Nick for a little bit of vision? You know, you're the incoming school captain. What's in your head as 2026 starts to march around?
Something as a leadership group we want to kind of build off from this year. We think Wilbur and his team have done an amazing job.
I think we'd agree with that,
the
Bill.
Red and Black Army. We think as our time at school, it's never been better. I mean, the highlight, of course, was the Xavier St. Kevin's game, but the Army and the culture in that of just support has been absolutely massive this year, and it's something we want to make sure continues and continue Wilbur's work. And I think a key part of what we want to grow is the idea of the Army is more than just a cricket and a footy army, and that we're showing that same idea of support to all boys, whether they play an instrument, whether they're in the musical, whether they're on the sporting field. Just the idea of the support. I think a way I like to frame it to my friends when I try to get them down is we don't really care if you like watching football or you like watching aths. You're not actually there to watch the footy. You're there to support your fellow Xaverian. You don't go to watch a great game of APS footy. You go to be in the army to cheer on your mates. And so it's like the same idea as you go to a concert to this boy spent hours practicing his violin or his piano for you to hear. And so you go to support them in all the hard work they've done. So we're hoping next year we can improve the support around all boys in the school and recognise some of the amazing achievements that some boys make in various fields, not just on the sporting field.
Oh, so well said, Nick. And so I must admit, you know, as much as, you know, there are big days on our calendar and everyone looks forward to them, and, you know, it's lovely seeing boys just being actually blown away by what some of their mates are capable of doing in whatever discipline it is. But some of the highlights for me have been, you know, I reflect back on, and it might be two footy games, but it doesn't really matter what the sport was, but the Zavarians are there, win, lose or draw. You know, here they were tunnelling off a team that was getting absolutely trounced by Scotch.
Day one at Scotch, I remember.
At halftime, and just Zavarians getting around their mates to go, hey, you know, we're there for you, we love you, you know, heads up and you know, lift up your hearts, that great system quarter thing. And, you know, lo and behold, you know, team turned around and bang, you know, they won a fixture. And then the following week, having gone down heartbreakingly by less than a goal, again, the boys are there to tunnel their team off, to go, hey, you've put in. These are beautiful elements of student culture, very visible. And, yeah, great aspirations, Nick, as you
tip
forward.
Yeah, I would agree very much with that. Being lucky enough to be sitting in the cheer captain interviews this week, and Mateus said, current cheer captain this year, said something very similar, that they had the emphasis on tunnelling off the team even if they lost. Like, we're there, win, lose or draw, which I thought was really nice. You're not there to cheer on them only if they win. Like, we're there, even if you lose and you tried your best, we're going to be cheering for you as loud as we possibly can.
And one last question, because we're going to have to stop soon because the bell will go. And we want you in class, Nick. What would you say to a family who are thinking about coming to Xavier? They don't really know much about it at all. They're not old Zavs. They just heard that it's a pretty damn good school. What would your comments be?
Well, the first comment would be, you should definitely come to Xavier. But the reasons why would be, I think whoever you are, whatever your interests are, there's a place for you, whether that's on the footy field and whether that's playing music. And it's not just the programs, it's the fact that once you're in these programs and you're trying to develop the passion, you're with other boys with the exact same passion. You form great friendships through them, which then, you know, spend your time throughout school in classes with these boys. And I think there's a place for every boy at the school, no matter what, if they're really smart, whether they're great athlete, there's always a place for you, and they'll always be seen, and there'll be lots of support in whatever they want to do at the school.
Superbly said.
Oh, I agree. I think the choice has been very good of the new school captain.
We weren't too fearful about this one, Shane, but we don't obviously have Wilbur for Ground the Grounds. And Nick, lovely you were referencing, I think, Wilbur and his entire
cohort.
Yeah. And you know, you mentioned Mateus as one, you know, really influential character. Mm. I love the fact that Zavarians lead, whether they're badged or unbadged. I think that's a really special part of what we do. But it's lovely to see you sort of building, you stand on the shoulders of giants, don't you? And our cohort have been superb. It's been lovely hearing them reflect. Let's hope for some great results for them. I know the teachers and the boys have been really happy. They've been, you know, confident as they've come out of their exams, as much as one can be, and they won't get ahead of themselves. But that's a lovely sight to go, you know what, those papers for our boys were really accessible. They love the fact that there were some difficult, challenging questions that they thought could really differentiate, and they sort of thrived in getting into that space. It's been a lovely reflection. So we hope very much for them. There's going to be a great, I'm just thinking of now, Wilbur Around the Grounds, which we do in an abbreviated form, great Old Zavs gathering this Friday
night. Yeah, absolutely.
Which will be lovely, up on the terrace and then in the Great Hall, and a whole range of years, you know, men stepping back from the 1950s and 60s.
Yeah, it's an incredible,
you know,
night.
Right through to some in the last five and 10 years.
So we might actually get some cricketers on the field on Saturday.
Hopefully.
Maybe.
Yeah, the weather's not looking great again for them. So obviously a terrible start to the season. So we'd hate to be none and two just from play or the inability to get on. But anyway, rowers will be charging through and the school swings in it.
And Nick, you're one exam down. That's your maths methods. You got through okay?
Yeah, I got through it okay. I was happy. And now we're all switching on to our year 11 exams now. Lots of boys in the library getting ready for them. So,
well, the very best of luck for 2026. As the college captain, it's a wonderful honour, and you are a magnificent choice.
Thanks, Shane.
Yeah, great. And I'm particularly wishing you well. I'll be looking on from afar, Nick, but you'll be an outstanding leader and ambassador for the school, and a wonderful cohort and a wonderful bunch of students behind you. So go well.
Thanks, Bill. Thanks, Nick. And we've only got a couple of Zav chats for 2025 to go. I've got to twist the boss's arm that one should actually focus on him. Leave me to do the dirty work there, but that'll be coming up in the next couple of weeks. Thanks, everyone. We'll see you 7 days in.